Okay, let's get to the word of God. My message today is praise for deliverance. It is a good thing to praise God for all of his deliverance in our lives. You agree with that? See, nobody can tell your story. Nobody really know all the things that God have delivered you from. Huh? Nobody know how many U-turns you have made in your life. Nobody know, and they don't have to know. And let me tell you something, you don't have to tell everybody, everyone. God knows, but you know. So listen to the message. Sometimes we forget to praise God when our lives are at rest. You got to get this now. You see, sometimes we're praising to get the blessing. And when we get the blessing and the drama ceases, sometimes we've been resting for so long that we forget to praise him. We forget to give him thanks for it because we're at rest now. Huh? From the drama of our past, my brothers and my sisters, look back and wonder how you got over. That's a song, isn't it? I'm not going to sing. But look back. Sometimes we got to look back. And how did I get over? Why didn't I die? It could have been. It should have been. It would have been me. But God, somebody. Huh? And Felicia, I want to just thank you for being who you are for my son. I really do. He brags on you. I want you to know that. He said, Daddy, if my wife pushed me, I can lag back or do what I want, but Felicia will lead me. Felicia loved the Lord. Thank you, Tracy, too, for Lamont, helping him out and being there, because I know you love Lamont. And you better not mess with Lamont. Tracy said, well, all of this is still part of the message because we are looking from the drama that God brought you out. And sometimes God will have someone sitting right beside you, a place in your life to bring you rest from your weariness. And isn't it good to know sometimes even when you're going through a downfall or a trial, the trial will not be quite as devastating because of the help that God has provided to go through it with you. It's nothing like going through trials by yourself. Huh? You know, Nubarim, you guys just lift me up. You lift me up. I look forward to coming here. And when I get here, I feel so protected because I believe the congregation loves me. We don't have to agree on everything. I'm not talking about that. But I believe the love here is real. So when I come in, I don't have to worry about my wife. Somebody's grabbing her. And I even told my wife before I'm not saying I'm prophesying, but things I say come true. I told her, I said, now look out for Miss Frieda. I said, that's our buddy. Time we got to know, Frieda got out the car. And there she go. I said, there she go, that Mama Frieda. And I said, now I was just saying that. But you know what? Heard something. You guys show so much love. Watch this now. I begin to expect it. When folk treat you good, consistently. See, we got some fair weather friends. When things get tight, they leave you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got to go now. When things get better, I'm back. I'm coming back. No. When things get better, I don't need you back. See, because I can't trust you. Keep living. Your turn coming. Amen. Turn with me. Did I give you the scriptures? Oh, I'm sorry. But I'm excited. I mean, I'm home. I'm home. I'm home. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. King David composed a song toward the end of his life when the Lord had given him a settled kingdom and promised Messiah kingdom through Christ. God had gave him all of that. He settled down. He's at the end of his life. You know, he had been through all of the drama and all the things that he went through. He'd been through his son, a conspiracy, Absalom. He'd been through the deal with Bathsheba and killing her husband and all of that kind of stuff and all this stuff going on. And everybody, the nations around them want to destroy them. He'd been through all of those things, and now he's at the end of his life. Don't y'all know that's why when I say the Lord of the future and the past that we can look, but sometimes God will let you live long enough to be appreciated of where he brought you from. Sometimes God will show you, because see, sometimes, this is good now, because sometimes some of our children in this society that we're living in today, some of them at a young age act like they have no hope. See, just because you are in a situation that you don't want to be in now, you know, you may not have a lot of money, you may not have a lot of friends, and it just seems like the way things are going right now, I can't get up from being down. It seems like I'm tossed to and fro. And that matter how old you are to be in what position you're in. But I come to tell you, David wasn't always in good positions. He didn't always have rest to his soul. But now that he's older, he saw what Donna said, that God gave him a time that he could make some U-turns. Have you ever read Psalms 51? Huh? When he asked God for forgiveness. Huh? When he says, Lord, in a sense, don't let me fall in men's hand, but let me fall in your hand. Because there's something about even when you whip me, it's a just whipping. Even when you chase me, you do it with love. Even when I don't get all that I know I deserve, I know you're justified. Because you do all things well. When we say that God does all things well, that even means when he's chasing us, he do that well. So David now have been through the drama. Huh? Tell your neighbor, I want to get through drama too. So all the mess that David got involved with, if God can bring him through, he can bring me through. David was a murderer, an adulterer. Huh? He dishonored God. He dishonored his kingdom. God brought him through. He didn't bring him through without consequences. That's not what I'm saying. But the consequences could have been death. Didn't have to be, no, you can't build the temple. But watch this. But your son, Solomon, can. Now, I guess the way I think, see, I'm preferencing this. I said, God, if you're going to get him, don't let his son even build it. You follow what I'm saying? Don't even let his son, because see, not only that, look at this. Are y'all with me? Is it all right? Because I'm, see this. He done all that mess. the son that built the temple, Solomon, was Bathsheba's son. The first one died. Remember, he was in fasting. That one died, Ronan. But the second one was still Bathsheba's son. That he gave all the wisdom, all the riches. But that's God's business. You know, he said, his ways, it ain't yours, Ricks. His thoughts, it ain't yours, Ricks. And by the way, they are much higher than yours. So don't bring God down to your level. If we can bring God's thinking or God's ways down to our level, no matter how smart we are, you have made God man. We can't do that. So what I'm saying, so David, now that he's at rest, he saw all the grace and the mercy of God. And he's in the Old Testament. Are you with me? Oh, man. You see, sometimes we get in a rut, even with our drama. And sometimes we think that there is no deliverance. I want to encourage your heart. Or whatever your downfall may have been, you may get in there spinning wheels, or you don't know what to think. I'm telling you, look to God this morning. Don't talk about how good he is. Don't just quote scriptures about how he is. You got to believe this thing. You got to walk in some of this stuff. All that talking. If I did not trust God, I'd be talking right now about God. I learned the jargon of the Bible boys, the Bible believers, to quote the scripture, certain ones you want, eternal security, the whole nine yards. I could have learned all that and spoke that, but never walked out. See, it's something about what, oh, I believe this, or I went to this church, and this. Man, forget all that crazy mess. When are you going to walk out? You see, I want to see, do you trust God? Get out of the boat. There are some things that God want to work out for you. He want to do the impossible with you, but you won't get out of the boat. See, you're limiting God what he want to do with you when there's a prerequisite before he do it. There are some things God have a prerequisite before he do. Some things he does not have a prerequisite. God called me out to start this church, but the prerequisite was to leave Calvary, leave a good church. But God, I'm not going to have anything. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't even call home to get some help. I don't know how to pastor no church. Never done it before. How am I going to make it out there? All of my resources is left back at Calvary. I don't have no resources. I don't have anything. And I don't know what I'm doing. Who's going to teach me? How am I going to survive in this? And then the few people I got with me, they're going to be discouraged, God, because I don't know what I'm doing. He said, I'm with you, Ricks. The prerequisite is you believe me. You trust me. You walked out not knowing whether you're going to drown or swim. But you walked out at my word, you moved. Let's look. In 22, let's hear David. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. Talk to God. Say to God what you want to say. See, on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. My. Can you think of some things that God has delivered you from? Let it generate in you a song or a saying or a prayer. whatever. Whatever you want to say to God for his. This is Thanksgiving season, isn't it? Is it? Okay. That you just want to give him thanks. Huh? Do you remember when you was in a dark place? Do you remember when you had to, you found yourself in a spot that it could have went worse than it did go? Anybody been there? I've been there. No, it could have went worse than it did go. Huh? Not saying it won't no consequences, but I know it could have been worse than it was. So I'm just thanking God it didn't go to the max of destruction when this thing happened to me. No, God, I saw, even in your discipline, I saw mercy. Where I should have been whooped 1,000 times, you didn't give me but 5. I saw your grace. Your grace, I didn't lose anything. Matter of fact, the grace, I gained a little bit more than I had before I got in my drunk. I got my sanity. Didn't go crazy. Didn't lose my mind. Many I knew lost their mind, lost their hope, lost their future. And some even lost their lives through suicide. Didn't make it. But God, your mercy, even in discipline, it was beautiful. David understood that he was a man after God's own heart, y'all. God gave that testimony. Wow. What kind of testimony is God giving about us? So you notice I said us, right? That's inclusive of Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. What kind of testimony today? See, God is still working today. It ain't over, y'all. Paul realized that our day would get hard. It would get a little rough because men will wax cold and evil and more reprobates and all this stuff. It's just going to generate more and more. As long as you live, it's worse now than it was in Paul's day. Don't keep talking about Paul's day. It's worse now. And holding the name of Jesus on your life. Walking in holiness and righteousness when everything want to pull you to the contrary. Everything want to say, man, shut up, sit down, stop this mess. You've been doing this too long. Stop it and come on and enjoy the gusto. God ain't all that. Don't you see society, the culture have changed? Stop using the name Jesus. Don't close your prayer with Jesus. Don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me. Well, we still want you. Well, you want me to say Jesus. I'm going to say it if you had to put me out. Well, you know I told you not. You down here to sit again. You have to. Put me out after I say Jesus. And by the way, if you're going to put me out because I bring Jesus in, put me out. Put me out. I'm going to tell you something. We're in a time you're going to be tested more and more and more. And now you got a new president? See, it's one thing to look on TV, see the riots or see the marches and these things, you heard things, not knowing what he's going to do, the president-elect, not really knowing, but fear is all over the place with people because of things he said. Okay? Fear is everywhere. Now, here's the thing. When you are fearful, didn't I say something about that last week? From Psalms what? Anybody remember? Huh? 56. Doc, do you remember? What did the psalmist do, he said, when he was fearful? Oh, now say that again, Dr. Lamont, stand up. Yeah, that's a preacher there. Come on. See, me and him talk the same language. Go ahead. No, I praise the Lord. Ain't about the word. The word don't mean nothing. That's why I talk in text. Why the word going on? Because the word, I don't praise no word. What'd it say? See, in the word of God is his promises. In the word of God is his gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of the gospel, doesn't it? Y'all blessing my heart. Because the one thing you preach, you pray, and all that, don't nobody get nothing. I don't want to do this, you ain't getting nothing. Yeah, you go, you need to go where you can get something. If I'm not feeding you, go somewhere. I don't have no problem with it. I don't have no problem at all because I want you to be fed. Because I'm going to tell you something. And these days coming, you're going to have the word of God rooted and embedded in you. And some of you Christians, not some, all of us Christians, you better hide the word of God in your heart if you're not going to sin against him. Because if you don't, as Christians, hide that word in your heart, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to sin against it. The pressure is rising now. The pressure is getting greater now. Anybody still with me? Okay, y'all ain't ready to throw me out right now. Okay, they get ready to throw me out. Maisie, you're going to have to help me. Don't sit back there. You get your tambourine and start saying, don't do him like that. I ain't just met that man. There ain't nobody I just met. Huh? You ain't just met me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm happy for some reason. Pray, y'all pray for me that everything go well. Okay. Stay right here now, Rich, because this is good. I'm just trying to share all that God gave me as I was looking at it. Okay, verse 2 says, and he said, the Lord is my rock. Okay, he said it now. The Lord, that rock, is a metaphor with the emphasis on strength. And my fortress. See, that's a secure place, a place where the enemy can't get in, don't know where it is to attack me. You see, sometimes God will be your strength that you can stand before your situation and deal with it in God's strength. Are you with me? But every now and then, we need him to be our fortress. We need that retreat. We need to right now, I need to be protected. I don't need to fight. See, sometimes there's a time you don't need to fight right now. You'll fight tomorrow, but right now you need protection. You need to be in a fortress. You see, let me tell you something. This has a lot to do with the local church. See, sometimes you just drag yourself in. That's okay. But you're coming into an ark of safety, so to speak. It's set up to be a home. It's just like, you know, sometimes you have a weary day at work or whatever, you're tired. And sometimes you're going through something on the job, you leave early. Anybody ever say, I'm going home, my stomach. I know when I was at the base, it was bad when you rode the van and you got sick. Because they're not going home. So I had to go through it. Because they're not going home. They're going to wait till everybody get off, load the van up, and go home. But when I drove, my back is hurting, the lower part of my back is hurting, I could take leave and leave. Watch this now. But when I leave because of my distress, I'm going home. I'm going to a place that I can relax. I'm going to a place that my wife can check on me. My wife can help me or tell me, lay down, and I'll go to Lawrence Pharmacy and get this, or you want me to call Leroy, you want me to call the doctor, or whatever. Because all of those things are afforded me because I have a home. Your church home, Christians, born again, blood-bought folk, should have the same connotation. The same thing that go on is something, just like I said, when I was talking about Maggie going to say something about my coat. When I said, Frida going to see you, Miss Ricks, at the door, and she going to jump on me and you both. All of that happened, but it was love. When I walked in and saw the two little twins, and I looked at them, they jumped up and whatever. I said, oh, come on. The two little grandchildren. And I grabbed them, and watch this now. I'm going to show you how we are connected. I grabbed those twins right out there, and I was playing with the boy and the girl. And they said, we got another set of twins. I said, you do? Yeah. And these are the youngest ones I got. And I'm just playing with them. I'm going to show you our connection in our home. Mildred Newby walked in the door and saw what I was doing. Hold it, Pastor. She got her phone out to get the picture. Stand over here by the flag. I said, come on. I'm still with kids. I didn't do that for a picture. There was no camera. But when Mildred came in, she saw what was going on. She jumped right in with love. And they just smiling. See? And so I got me a picture. And she said, I'm gonna shoot it to your phone. See, what I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not guessing about the relationship. See, if you read your scripture, don't tell me how much you love God and you don't love your brother. Say that. Care that somewhere else, as far as I'm concerned. You see, because of our horizontal, is that right? Is that vertical or horizontal? Which one is it? Vertical. Okay, all right. Now, some of y'all still know what I'm talking about. Because of our vertical relationship, that's what God was. Because of that, the horizontal with my brother should be better. Should be better. Now, if it's not, I need to check it out. Because according to God, it should be better. How can you say you love me whom you have not seen and you hate your brother? God said, don't speak that yang yang to me. Start loving up. So what we were doing, I'm loving up on the children. Mildred come and jump right in. No, you get this by yourself, Pastor. I'm going to get a little bit too. That's called a Christian experience. Anybody with me? Do you get it? Now, he goes, and some of these things are repeated, but he just used different words. But he says, he's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer. You know, there's some things he delivered me from. Okay. But let me tell you something. A lot of times, God delivers is not going to deliver you from something happening. Sometimes something will happen, he'll deliver you out of. See, all of his deliverance is not housed in from a sickness, from a situation, from a downfall. Sometimes he'll let the downfall happen. Now, some of y'all got testimonies here, and you know what Pastor's saying. Don't act like you don't know. You had a downfall. And some folks thought you were going to be down forever. But look at you now. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Someone in wrestling, was it three? I don't know, I'm trying that fake wrestling. When the man is pent, and that fake wrestling, sometimes you know the man's supposed to have been with that third one, the referee. Man, come on, just somebody grab his hand, then the guy, he get up. Then beat to death. He get up. But our situations are real, aren't they? They're not staged under like the wrestling. Huh? But you know, so I can't tell your story. I'm not trying to tell your story. But what I want you to realize, we have to be like David. We got to give God glory, especially when he has given us rest. You could have been out of your mind, but you're not out of your mind. What happened? Who's holding you together? Why is not just total chaos? See, the world would just fall apart. All the atoms and everything would fall apart if not Jesus was holding it together. I'm not guessing what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. Because he's holding me together. He's holding me together right now. How in the world can I keep on preaching, go on like this? What's going on? What's going on? Jesus going on. How can you think of others when you say you need all your strength for yourself? How can you do that? What's up with that? Jesus. He's asking me to trust him. Rest may come later for me, but right now. There's work to be done. There's preaching to be done. There's setting an example, standing before people to be done. Keep living. That's all I say. The God, verse 3, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust. Some of us got some situations now and you don't know whether to trust God or not. But if you realize he is your strength. See, if you look at, if you look at what David say about God to him. See, you could be talking to a person that God is not their rock. They don't consider him their rock. They don't consider him their fortress. They don't consider him their deliverer. They don't consider him their strength. And we're asking them to trust God, whom they didn't describe who he was to them. You know what I'm saying? Just because he's this to David don't mean that's who he is to you. See, everybody on the pew don't think alike. And all of us have what? A free will. But I tell you what, those of us who think like David, and we can say amen to what we're reading as Christians, you will benefit greatly. If you don't see him like this and you get some tough times, you can't trust him. You will not trust him. Because you never saw him from the proper spiritual perspective. And that's one of the hardest things to try to get people to see. That's why people will leave church, they'll leave the things of God, and they say, I'm better off. I remember years ago, I think as a young pastor, I guess that was the first time I had heard some stuff like that. A guy and his wife, they were doing fine in the church. We were just going along having a good time, and he just went back, just left. And when I went to talk with him and to see how things were going, he said this to me. He said, Pastor, I know what we preach and the Bible say about the Lord and all of that. He said, but I'm doing better without him. And for a moment, I was silent. Because you got to see, I never heard, he'd been saying he was a Christian, he was walking with us, was a member of our church and everything. But for a moment, I was stunned. And he meant that. He said, I done got a raise. This and that, since I ain't been, So in other words, ain't nothing you saying anything to me, because I'm doing better without what you're trying to give me. Okay? So what I'm saying, that individual that told me that, and I was like, whoa. Because like I said, it was the first time I heard it. Now I'm a little older now. I done heard some of everything. What I'm saying to you, he was saying, I don't have the perspective of God as David. See, if I had that same perspective David had of God, I would value God. So he is saying, I can get these things without God. I mean y'all go ahead on and yes, I am. I'm going on. Now, here's the thing. Now, getting hit like that, I wanted to call down a curse on him. That's me. Me. Because first I'm saying, what am I doing around here? I'm kind of wasting my time with this. I mean, flesh. Flesh was rising up. Can we get honest? Say, wait a minute now. I wasn't looking for this. See, sometimes when you are not looking for something, you ain't prepared for it. But that was in my early ministry. I won't prepare for that. Now, I could prepare for some other nasty thing, but I won't prepare for that one. When you say, I'm doing better without Jesus. See, I was struggling before I just stopped serving, and now I got a raise. I'm a foreman on my job. That was years ago. But I ain't going to tell you what's going on with him now. I'm going to move on. But I'm going to tell you something, man. Pastor, I remember, man, helping people. They're running through the swamp. Somebody going to kill them and jumping in my car. But I look back over some of the things I've done to try to help people. I try to look back at that young fella. Say, don't try that stuff today because Pastor ain't going to be driving through. Didn't tell me to run through red lights. Then the folk with guns following us all the way. Tell me, I'm not going to run through no red light and get killed. And not only that, they get out the car. Tell me, the only reason we didn't kill him, because of you. Our respect for you, Pastor Rich, kept me from killing him. I'm going to tell you that right now. But if he had got away from you, and we caught him going somewhere, he didn't go from you right straight to his house, his mama's house, we're going to kill him tonight. Don't ask me to do that now. I was young. But here's the point. Here's the point. Remember we talked about refuge? For that night that I picked him out of the dismal swamp, deep creek running muddy, let me tell you something. My car and me was his refuge from the attack. Because of the respect that the boys I knew wouldn't cross the line with me because he was in the refuge. But he had left me, so he ran past the car. They probably ran over him. That's how hot they were. Are y'all following me? Now, my strength toward those boys was my testimony. Now, let me tell you something. Had those boys knew I was a jackleg preacher doing a bunch of crazy stuff, as mad as they were, we get him and him, because he ain't no good. Now, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I was involved in. Let me move on, because y'all, it's about time for us to go now. All right, stay right here, Rick. But everything is connected. The God of my strength in whom I will trust. Then it says, my shield and the horn of my salvation. Sometimes you still being attacked, you still, things is happening, but you know sometimes God will be your shield. Sometimes he'll catch some of them fiery dots and he will extinguish them. See, sometimes God is a shield when somebody says, I'm going to lay him out, and some kind of way by the time you get there, they won't lay you out. They done change their mind, change their heart. And see what it was, God became a shield for you. Yes, sir. I remember I was trying to help one older saint out. Because she was mad with me. She loved Pastor Rich. But she was mad with somebody else. And she talking about hitting them with a 2x4. And there was one of them godless saints. I'm going to their Bible study. And I'm trying to learn. What am I doing at your Bible study? You talking like that. I'll bust him in there. Now see, if I wasn't in the Lord personally, that stuff would have turned me off so much. I said, forget this, ain't nothing to this. But wait a minute, your husband's a preacher and you're doing all of that? Come on now. And he letting you do it, he co-signing. But glad I didn't cut her loose. And now you about to go in there and teach Bible study. Come on, man. Come on. Yo, help me. Now, y'all laugh. You know, it would be funny if it wasn't true. And I was so afraid because she was nervous. And had the 2x4. I'm waiting to come to my house. You were like the guy who went to his house. You waiting for him to come to your house so you could lay that board in. I told her, please don't hit me with it. These old saints got some stories. And guess what? You got some too. You and I got some stories. Okay, don't act like you ain't got nothing now. Keep living. My stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you saved me from violence. My Lord, have mercy. I thank God that he saved me from the wrath of God. I thank God that he saved me from the wrath of God. Oh, we got it right here. Brother Barnes, can you do this for me? Can you turn to 1 John 3:34, 35, and 36? Can you put that up for me? If you can. When he saved me from violence, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be what? Praise. You know, 3:34, 35, and 36. That's 3:3. Not 1 John, I'm sorry. The Gospel of John. Yeah, the Gospel of John. I'm sorry. Did I say John or did I say 1 John? Oh, okay. All right. I want John 3:34, 35, 36. The Gospel of John. And I said that this time, right? There it is again. He says, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. Now, isn't this something right here? It speaks of his worthiness. He's worth praising. And yet Lamont said that the word of God was worth praising. Am I right? Is that true? It's true? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, 33. Okay. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is what? True. Go to the next one. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Go ahead, give me the next one. The Father loves the Son and has given all things unto his hand. 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I want to say this. Those who have never received Christ, some may not know it. The wrath of God is on them. Okay? Now watch this. If you end up not receiving Christ as your Savior, you don't get saved. It will continue to abide, to live, to have residence on you. It's a continuation of the wrath of God. The judgment of God is on you. Let me tell you what God does when he saved you. When Jesus Christ saved you, he lifts the wrath of God off of you. If you don't want the wrath of God to stay on you, be glued to you, be weld to you, be matched to you, if you don't want that, you got the only one can take it off you is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear ye him. Folk walking around with plenty of money, plenty of success, plenty of fame, and don't know they are tagged with the wrath of God. It's abiding on them. I'm 13, it's abiding on you. And I'm 20, it's abiding on you. I'm 30, it's abiding on you. When did you? I just want to get it off of you. It's just like if you had a tick on you, sucking the blood, and somebody else see it, and you, let me get this off of you. Man, quick, pull it off of me. Because it's taking me down. The wrath of God is on you. It means it abides. It has a continuation of staying there until the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you receive him. That word, he'll take it off. See, I don't have the wrath of God on me. Because, you know, why you don't, you better, no. Here it is. Let me tell you how backwards these sayings are when people want to make fun of you. You may go back and talk to some of your friends. Man, you done that much dirt if I done. You ain't no better than nobody else. Don't bring that religious stuff around here. And then they cuss you out, give you a few choice words. Now, then the other group may laugh. That's right, man. You done sin and blah, blah, blah. Don't fall for that. Let me break something down to you. See, I realized when I came to Christ, I took a bath, a shower. I came under the blood of Emmanuel from his veins. Okay, and as that blood on the cross, he's a sacrifice, or he's our substitute, or he is our propitiation. He satisfied the Father. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So if I could give you an illustration, as the blood from the cross of Jesus for my salvation, they telling me I'm thinking I'm better than them. No, I think I stink. My sin is stinking. No. You okay. You don't smell yourself. I smell my sin. And I need to take a bath. Water won't take this stench from me. Alcohol and beer and Johnny Walker Red won't take this from me. Reefer won't take this from me. I smell it. Money, overtime, don't take this from me. I can't stand it anymore. As God called me, I got under the shower. And I got washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Now who think they're better? You think you're better because you don't realize how you're smelling and what savor is going to the nostrils of God. No. You think you're better because you think you're clean. I'm not better. I smell my sin. I need cleaning. So don't run that game by me. You tell it to somebody else who don't know how to talk to you. You only get washed, take a shower because you think you're dirty. He says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So there's the Lord is worthy to be praised, the word is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved or delivered from my enemies. See, so I said some of these words means the same thing. 5 says, when the waves of death surround me. He called them waves of, talking about death now. Now he's speaking about death as a flood. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. See, I don't care what it is that's making you afraid. You need to know you got Jesus. It ain't about what make me afraid. It's about what make me happy. He says, the sorrows of the grave, of hell, of Sheol, surrounds me. Good gracious. I'm approaching and these things are going on. The snares of death confronted me. Personally. He ain't talking about us now. He's personally. In my distress. If you don't get nothing else, put that somewhere. In my distress. See, if one thing don't distress you, keep living, God got a next thing. There's something else coming that may distress you. All of us from time to time may find ourselves distressed. From whatever. You go home and somebody tell your grandbaby been killed. You distressed. You look as cute as you want to look and look like I ain't paying pastor no mind. You go home in a truck, the rent of your grandbaby, and everybody's heart is broken. You gonna, your earth ain't gonna change right then, fast, quick, and in a hurry. In my distress, not after I get out of it, I call upon the Lord. You see, some people don't know. When someone loves you, when you're in trouble, you distress them. And you make them pray for you. You make them ask somebody else to pray for you. Pray for your deliverance. Pray for your freedom. And when you get it, they're no longer depressed. It's gone. Watch this. Do you see it? Oh, there it is right there. My glasses fogged up. They're bigger words. In my distress. Have you ever been distressed? Huh? What did you do when you were distressed? If you didn't do it, get this message. I call upon the Lord. Well, what's going to happen? What happened, David? If you're telling me the story about your distress, everybody get distressed. But what do you do? What's the cure for distress? Call upon the Lord. And what? And what's going to happen if I do that? And cried out to my God. He heard my voice. Wait a minute. I didn't hear your voice when millions of people praying at the same time. How can he hear your voice personally when millions of prayers are going up? That's what make him God. See, I like this. You won't get a business tone when you pray. And you can't say, I got to wait till the rest of the congregation, church over here, church over there, church over there. I got to wait till them finish praying before I can get a prayer through. Let me tell you something. We all can pray at one time. And God know every hair on your head. He know you individually. It didn't mean he wouldn't hear somebody else's prayers during that time. But David said, as for me, he heard mine. Realize when you pray, God can hear your prayers. Let's see what else you say. The Lord, and he cried out to, my God, personally, my Savior, my Lord, my God. He heard my voice. I like that. Hold pocket right. Isn't it something about speaking in tongue? And Paul spoke something about how is there, everything has a distinction. If it's a string instrument, I don't have to see it, but I should know that sound is different from a horn. Huh? See. So there's a distinction. So it tells me God can hear distinctions. Everybody here could pray at one time. And every one of your prayers and your voice is distinct to the one who gave you your vocal cords. You know that make you feel good, Charmaine? I don't care who else is praying. No, we can pray in a group. But that's Charmaine. That's Sheena. That's Sheena. See, they done prayed. Yeah. I got both of them here at the same time. I'm going to answer these prayers today. Because they've been praying about this thing. I'm going to work it out for them. Because, see, I know that voice. They make me feel good. That old crazy Pastor Ricks, he got to preach again. He praying to me, talking to me. There ain't nobody but Ricks. What are you praying for? Get in there and preach. Do you see the distinction? He wasn't talking about he heard Solomon's voice. He said he heard my voice. So don't worry about Tracy, how Lamont praying. He said, I want to hear Tracy. See, God loves us individually. But it's a big group of us that's saved. I'm trying to help somebody. I may not help nobody. But he told me to preach anyway. I want to set you free. All right, so we're going to feed you too. Ain't that good? You don't even have to go out to Golden Crab. Okay. But I got two more. No, I'm on the last verse. Okay. All right, I know y'all glad. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. Look at him. He even know the location of God. God is in heaven. And from his temple, he heard me. From his dwelling place, he heard me. And I know Christ is seated on the right hand of God, interceding for me. And my cry entered his ears. I'm through. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look at this beautiful picture, y'all. You and I know that Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father. Am I right? And his activity is interceding for you and me. Right? So it tells me when my prayer comes to the Father, this is just my little peewee illustration now. No, you got yours. That ain't nobody but old Ricks, no crazy preacher. And Satan say, look, don't, I'm going to accuse the brethren. Don't answer his prayer. Let him tough it out this time. Then Jesus look over at the Father and say, but the blood, my blood, I'm going to intercede for him. And then sometime when I can't do but groan and moan, the Holy Spirit interpret it. Man, I'm going to tell you, I want to talk about the blessings you got in the temple. You can get in touch with the temple where the board of God is in heaven. And David said, not only did I cry out in my distress, he heard it. See, it's nothing like when you got a serious thing going on in your life and you're having a conversation with somebody you think that love you and they are not paying you no attention. It's nothing like that. You love them, they love, even to a point you will stop, especially with your children. I'm trying, they looking, Pay attention. Anybody ever done that? See, because what I'm about to tell you is pertinent. What I'm about to say from the depths of my heart, baby, I love you. Please hear me. Hear me. I'm coming from the depths of my heart and the connection I got with you like no other. You're a part of me. Hear me. And it's nothing like when you have a seriousness talking to your daughter, Sister Charmaine, and then she stopped. I said, Mama's serious. I need to, you know. God is not too busy to hear your voice. We're not talking about somebody else. Why don't you take your voice to the Lord and let him hear your prayer?